Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Rich or Miss, Episode 23. Hey, Rich or Miss listeners. It has almost become a tradition to have a special episode every now and then of a major issue that was mentioned a lot on the show and really has an impact on many entrepreneurs. Last time, I chose to speak about the best advice our interviewees shared with us. Today, I would like to talk about failures with customers. I always ask each and every guest to share their biggest, most significant failure with customers, the one that affected their journey the most. I also ask about biggest successes, but we'll keep those to another time. There is one thing that popped up in most of the interviews, that is the role of that big failures on leading to huge, remarkable successes. And you will hear it over and over in most of the stories that we'll hear today. I've chosen 5 successful guests whom we think their failure stories are the most inspiring and would help you, our listeners, to learn the most of. The first failure story is the story of Joe Polizzi, being one of the first to recognize the coming change and the power of content marketing. Joe was trying to develop the first marketing matching machine. Let's hear his story. Joe is the founder of Content Marketing Institute, a UBM company, the leading education and training organization for content marketing, which includes the largest in-person content marketing event in the world, Content Marketing World. Joe is the author of 4 books, including his latest, Content Inc. His third book, Epic Content Marketing, was named one of the 5 must-read business books of 2013 by Fortune magazine. I just shared with our listeners what you did until now, and I would like to ask you, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers, the one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most?
Well, there's been so many. It's so hard to pick which one of my failures. It's interesting. I was doing an interview a few weeks ago and I was talking about some of my failures, but then I started to realize that if I didn't have those failures, I wouldn't have had the successes. Can't take any of those back, right? But I can give you the one example, which is the one that's most crystal clear, is when I first started as an entrepreneur. What I thought was the most amazing idea in the world was it's a matching service for marketers around content. So if you were a marketing manager, a marketing director at a brand and you needed content created for you, we developed this online matching system and we would match you up with agencies or freelance writers to help you with your content. And it actually did fairly well. We matched up 1,000 different products. And the financial model was broke. And what I realized is 2 things. First of all, agencies and writers didn't want to pay for the service. And second of all, we were building an audience of marketers that only about 0.5% of them at any one time could use the service. Oh. And how many people are actually actively looking out there for vendors? Most of the time, they're trying to figure out operationally how they can get, what kind of training, what kind of education, how do I operationalize this, all these things. They're not saying, okay, I need a freelance writer or I need an agency. So we were offering a product and a service for customers that only a very few of those people at any one time could use our product and service. It was terrible from that standpoint, and it wasn't sustainable as a standalone product. And the failure that happened is that we focused on that so much, and I loved the product. I actually fell so in love with the product, and it almost, I mean, I was at a point where I was actually looking for a job because we were bleeding cash. It wasn't working, and I just kept saying, no, the product's going to work. The product's going to work. And then I stepped back after almost going out there and getting a job, and I realized, I said, well, look at all this feedback, and we were receiving all these emails from our readership because I had a regular blog. And we started to create a pretty good readership of marketing managers. And I started to look at all the feedback, and they were saying, Joe, can you do consulting for us? Joe, we need ongoing education. Joe, do you have any templates for us? Joe, my team needs training. All these things that they were telling us exactly what they wanted to buy. But all I was focused on was this matching product. And that's when it hit me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. All this time, these are the things that they're asking for, and we're giving them something else they don't need. Wow. So that's when we did our pivot, completely said, forget it. All we're going to do is we're going to focus on building this audience. We're going to build this audience, and then we're going to, like the model we've been talking about, then we're going to go ahead and monetize that. And we launched Content Marketing World, and we launched Chief Content Officer Magazine, and we expanded the blog, and then we launched the podcast and all those things. And we went from a company that was generating like maybe $100,000 US in revenue. And within the next couple of years, it was over $10 million.
Wow.
And that was all because we focused on the audience and the customer's needs, and then started launching products against that. So that the failure was I fell in love with the product, and I was blind at the problems of the customers, and that's a mistake I'll never make again.
Douglas Bourdette is the founder and principal of Artillery, a business-to-business marketing agency in Norfolk, Virginia, and is the host of the Marketing Book Podcast, which was named by LinkedIn as one of the 10 podcasts that will make you a better marketer. Before starting his business career, Douglas served as a U.S. Army artillery officer in Germany for 3 years and then earned an MBA. I want to ask you about the biggest failure with customers.
Well, not so much with customers, because I test everything out on myself first. But I'll give you an example. Years ago, maybe 5 years ago, something like that. So I started my company in 2001, and I had worked at advertising agencies in New York City, big ones, and one in Virginia. And then I started my own company, and it was very much focused on advertising, television, radio, print, all that sort of thing. That was sort of my background. And along the way, I saw that whole model was changing. Perhaps like a travel agent 20 years ago might have realized that their whole world was changing. I don't even know a travel agent now. I'm sure there's some out there. But what I did was I realized that I was too young to retire. I hired this consultant. He had been blogging on his own website about ad agency new business. And I had been reading his blog because it was full of helpful, interesting information. And his blog was targeted to ad agency owners and new business development people. So what he did with agencies is he's still doing this. His name is Michael Gass, and he would get an agency to determine what niche that they wanted to focus on and build a blog separate from their agency website. So it's sort of like throwing a fishing line off the boat. So in other words, you get the idea. So they would just reach that specific niche. So he said, what do you think you might want to build this blog on? And I said, I'm not sure, because I've worked on everything from Listerine mouthwash and Panasonic all the way down to the local bank and hospital. And I said, but, you know, I'm fascinated by the military. I was in the U.S. Army, and there's a lot of defense industry in Virginia, even more than in California. And I have a lot of friends that work for these defense firms, and they're always asking me marketing questions, and it seems like nobody's really talking to them. And marketing has never been as important to the defense industry as it is to, let's say, other industries like casinos and hospitals and car dealerships and software companies. So he said, well, look, if you're the least bit interested in that area, why don't you build a blog about that? And then even if you don't get any business, you'll have taught yourself everything you need to know about digital marketing, content marketing. And that's what agencies are going to be helping, all these ad agencies are going to be helping their clients with in the future. And I said, okay. So I started this blog and it was all about marketing for defense industry people. There was a lot of traffic to it. I got a lot of attention in the press. But just to circle back to my original point, there wasn't a lot of demand for it. In other words, most of these defense firms, they still want to sell to the government and they want someone to tell them how to get another government contract, which is not what I was doing. I was writing articles about how they could be diversifying into the private sector and even how they could be using content marketing to get the attention of government buyers. And it's just a very, very different business model. And I jokingly say that sometimes I think most of them come into the office Monday and wait for an RFP to come over the fax machine from the government telling them what to do. And there are a lot of listeners from Israel, a lot of people I've met through LinkedIn and Twitter who are in the defense industry in Israel. But it wasn't really, it was a solution in search of a problem.
Yeah, okay. It's exactly what you talked about before.
So I would consider that kind of a failure, although I learned quite a bit about how to build an audience, which I think is, as you know from Joe Polizzi's book, that's one of the most important things marketers and companies should be doing is building their own audience.
John Lee Domas. John is the host of EO Fire, an award-winning podcast where he interviews today's most successful entrepreneurs 7 days a week. JLD has grown EO Fire into a multi-million dollar a year business with over 1,500 interviews and 1.5 million monthly listens. He is the author of the Freedom Journal and the Mastery Journal, two of the most funded publishing campaigns of all time on Kickstarter. And all the magic happens at eofire.com. What is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? Can you tell us about this?
This was a large mistake that I made that I have not replicated since because it was a big waste of time, energy, effort, and money. It goes back to 2013 when I had a lot of people saying, John, I love your podcast. Like, I'd love to create my own podcast in my own industry or niche. And me saying, well, what should I do? How would I create a entire platform that I will create other people's podcasts for them? I'll host their shows. I'll edit their podcasts. I'll create their show notes. I'll do it all, you know, for just a couple hundred bucks a month. And I thought that it was going to be a no-brainer. In fact, I called it Pod Platform. And everybody that I ran the idea by were like, John, that's a great idea. Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. And I went out, hired the virtual assistants, built a team, you know, got the hosting ready, and everything was prepped. And then I launched, and only one person signed up for the service.
Wow.
And luckily, it was the perfect number. And I say that because if I had zero people that signed up, I might have tried to relaunch and done it again. Or if I had 100 people sign up, I would have been really obligated to those 100 people because a lot of people would have put their trust in me. Fortunately, again, in hindsight, only one person signed up, which quickly led me to realize that, wow, I don't want to be in this business because I don't want to be editing people's shows and uploading their intros and outros and hosting it for them and doing all the things that it takes to essentially run a podcast, but running somebody else's podcast. And I was then able to go back to just the one person and say, listen, I'm sorry. Here's your money back. This is just not the type of business that I want to run. So instead of, you know, having to either go to 100 people or think or not even know that I didn't want to run that business because zero people signed up. Fortunately, one person signed up and showed me this is not what I want to do. But I wasted so much time, so much energy, so much money finding that out when I could have said, hey, everybody's telling me they want this. Before I actually go out and create this and hire people and train and all this, let's actually have people put their money where their mouth is and invest in this product before it exists. And I did that a few months later with Podcasters Paradise, and that concept really caught on. I had 50 people sign up before we launched, which made me realize that, wow, I can really turn this into something. You know, and now fast forward to today, Podcasters Paradise has over 3,000 members, over $4 million in revenue, all because I went about it in a different way.
You should read, because I enjoy Podcasters Paradise so much. It's such a tool. Of course. Everything you teach me, I use. And I just wanted to ask you, how long did you wait to see how many people are going to join you?
I did the whole launch, you know, so it was like a week launch, and I opened the cart and I, you know, pushed it hard and went throughout the week, and then I closed the cart, and, you know, so it was like a whole launch sequence that I kind of went through. And when just the one person signed up, I said, you know what? This just isn't something that seems to be catching on. And then when I started doing the work, I was like, and this is not work that I want to be doing. So that made me realize I needed to pivot fast.
Knowing to shut down something, knowing that something doesn't succeed, it's really a gift as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Chris Brogan provides strategy and skills for the modern business. He is CEO of Owner Media Group, a sought-after public speaker, and the New York Times best-selling author of 9 books and working on his 10th. Forbes listed Chris as one of the must-follow marketing minds of 2014, plus listed his website as one of the 100 best websites for entrepreneurs. State Social rated Chris as the third power influencer online. Chris lives in Northern Massachusetts. His better half is Jacqueline Carly, and between the two of them, they have 3 kids. I know you had a lot of successes. However, I want to start with the failures.
Oh, my gosh. I fail every day, so.
Sure.
That's a little option.
All of us.
Yeah, my biggest ones, I guess, anytime I try to design from my idea or my arrogance or my ego, that usually fails. So when I say, you know, this is what customers will want, that's when I fail. Because I believe that I know what's best, just like a parent. You know, I am like on the plate, I am like broccoli. And it would be great to eat more broccoli. Your body wants more broccoli, most people. And, you know, your body says, oh, I would feel so much better if you ate that. But broccoli is not sexy. And sometimes people think they want cake, you know? So I have to deliver broccoli cake if I'm going to help my customer. So my big failure, you know, for instance, I launched a project
broccoli
where
broccoli cake? No.
Yeah, I call it you hide the broccoli in the cake.
Okay. But
you know, when I make that joke, sometimes people think that's the most horrible thing, and then I always tell them, well, there's things like zucchini bread, so there's precedent, and there's carrot cake, so you know, there's precedent. We hide food like that. So my biggest failure is I started a bunch of little private online communities that I thought everyone was going to love. I started one for health care stuff. I started one for nonprofits. I started one for real estate. And I had other people try to run them and be the face of them. And I failed horribly. I spent so much money and lost it all. Because just asking someone to run the community doesn't mean they know how to be a good community leader and how to help people really connect inside those groups. But it came from, you know, a very general experience of not working from that side of the fence of this is what might benefit a customer. You know, everyone is so smart. You know, I know some people in the startup community in Tel Aviv, for instance, and they're all so smart. Well, because my former boss and mentor, Jeff Pulver, spends time with Yossi Vardy.
The breakfast with
him.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I know those people, and I've had the pleasure of sitting with Israeli startups a bunch of times. You know, and I know you speak to more than just Israeli, but I know that's kind of where you're based. But the experience I have many times with those people, many times with different people, young, excited men and women who tell me about their great product, is they've developed a product they know how to create, but they haven't necessarily developed a product that anyone asked for. And I think that's the big challenge. And I think it's how do you take your wizardry and your youth and your brilliance, or sometimes your age. I love older people in startups way more than I love younger ones. And how do you take that wisdom and apply it to a real customer challenge? I think nothing happens until we do that. And the biggest startups that we all praise came from solving a very simple problem very well.
Andy Young is CEO of photography community 500px. He has worked in the tech industry for the last 16 years, including as an investor, banker, consultant, and advisor. Previously, he was an investor at Extreme Startups and a venture capitalist at Relay Ventures. He also worked at Netflix in strategic planning and analysis roles. Prior to those roles, he was an investment banker at Thomas Whistle Partners and Goldman Sachs in the TMT coverage groups. I want to ask you, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey or 500px journey. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, there's so many mistakes or failures.
I love this answer.
it's been a long journey for us. I think what it boils down to is just not talking to our community enough or being proactive or transparent enough to our community. And, you know, this is a lesson we have to learn over and over again of just how much communication we have to do or we should do to our community to let them know of changes that are coming down the line or just even things that we're thinking about. We just want to be, and we've learned this over and over again, just we need to be much, much more proactive and much more communicative to our community. The most poignant example I can point to is we launched a mirrored community just localized in China about 2 years ago. And we did this because we took investment from a strategic based in China called Visual China Group, which is this amazing company that does, you know, licensing and owns the licensing space in China. So that we took in a strategic investment with them. And with that investment, we started a joint venture that gave us access to 1.4 billion, you know, Chinese people that,
wow,
you know, were getting more and more disposable income and going to, you know, start purchasing cameras and, you know, just getting into the artistic pursuits. And so this is a huge market. Everybody sees it. And so this was a way for us to access that market in strength and partner with a company that knows the local landscape. And so we launched the site again without telling our community. And so, you know, our community thought, you know, at first it was just, you know, copyright infringement. And there's this mirrored site that looks very similar. It basically looks exactly the same as 500px. And, you know, they thought their photos, you know, were being infringed upon. You know, we had to basically clear that up with our community. And unfortunately, we just weren't proactive in our communication. So a certain subset of very vocal users were upset. And so, you know, we had to, again, I had to personally apologize for not being communicative and then kind of take steps to right that. And so, again, it's just, for us, it's always learning and always seeking to be better and always communicating more and more with our community. It's something we've started doing a lot more since that time.
It's a lovely story. You probably noticed that most of the opinion leaders that share their failure stories with us started their answer by saying, oh, there were so many failures, so many mistakes. So to summarize today's special episode, I would like to talk for a minute of the issue of successes and failures in the journey of each entrepreneur. Everything is changing all the time. In this hectic, ever-changing world, we all do much more mistakes and have much more failures. However, one thing haven't changed yet, not dramatically anyhow. The way people, human beings, think, evaluate, and decide. This is a very important issue to remember while focusing on our customers. They have the answers because the money we look for is in their pockets or the use we look for. That goes back to the best advice of this opinion leaders in the show. Talk with your customers. Do things that doesn't scale. And talk with them. I would like to thank you for listening to today's special episode. Next week, we will go back to the interviews with a new guest. Bye! And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.